Hi there. Thanks very much for checking out Telage Talks. This week, we're talking about a sport that hasn't been around for a very long time. In fact, it was invented in 1965 up in the Pacific Northwest, the state of Washington, on Bainbridge Island, they say. It was a children's backyard game. At least that was initially what the game was set up to be. And now in the year of 2023, moving now into 2024, there are estimates of about 5 million people playing the game here in the States. And we're talking about pickleball. You perhaps have seen it being played in neighborhood courts or in clubs around Northeast Ohio and around the states as well. It is very quickly becoming one of the more popular activities for a lot of people here, not just in Northeast Ohio, but all over the country. And in fact, in this conversation, we're going to talk about what its impact is on a world level as well. I stopped by one of the greatest spots that you can check out the game here in Northeast Ohio. It's the Wembley Club in Chagrin Falls, and talk to Jason McNulty and Katie Allen, two aspiring pros who are just great young people. It was so cool to sit down and chat with them about their aspirations and about the sport of pickleball. First of all, thanks very much for letting me kind of dig into what pickleball means to both of you. How did you come to the sport, Katie?
So I work at the Wembley Club in Chagrin Falls, and the pickleball players knew that I had played tennis, so they convinced me to come out. And of course, like other tennis players, I didn't like it at first. And then I started playing more and more and actually realized it was super fun and a great workout, more of a workout than I had expected originally.
And you just had fun with the game, and then you noticed that more and more people were getting involved in it, right?
Yeah, it had grown exponentially at the club, and, you know, all ages, younger, older people, and it became more and more fun, and I got more friends to do it, so it was really fun to be on the court.
But again, you mentioned you had the tennis background, so we can delve into some of that. How about you? How did you get involved in this, Jason?
So I had first played on vacation in Myrtle Beach in late 2020, just with some family members, and realized I was having a blast with it. I also played a little bit of tennis, nothing super high level, but really enjoyed the different aspects of pickle, being a little more mental and a little less physical in terms of what you needed to be a really good or high level tennis player. So I was hooked the moment I tried it, and just loved playing with other people and the exercise I got from it.
You did. You got a lot of great exercise, and the strategy is really a huge part of this, no?
Yes. Yeah. It's a very mental game. It's a very close court. Anyone who's played tennis or a racket sport, all four players, doubles is usually more common. You're all very close quarters, and you can kind of hear everyone talking the whole time. So it's very much about focus and kind of figuring out how to hit the shot better than someone else or anticipate what shots they're going to hit. So it's a very much a little bit of a chess match.
Okay, let's talk 3 years now, because you mentioned 2020. In the span of 3 years, I can't ask you for figures, but just how much has this sport really taken off in your estimation, being involved in both as an athlete and someone that works with a youth program?
Oh, it's grown by millions. People all over the world are starting to play. Every country you see is growing more and more and getting more pickleball, and even professional athletes. One of my favorite memories was in 2020 when the NBA, they were playing in the Dome, the Mavericks were actually playing in the parking lot. So that you can just tell when the professional athletes are starting to play, that's when it's going to really grow.
And where do you see this thing going? It's so much in its infancy, really.
I really think it's going to be an Olympic sport at some point.
Okay.
Colleges are starting to have club teams, and I actually heard one of our members say his daughter's college is going to offer it as a real sport, and they're going to start offering scholarships and everything. So once it gets to the college level, it'll end up an Olympic sport.
Where do you see yourself taking the sport for you as an athlete? You're kind of involved in different fronts.
I'm playing at the professional level now. I would like to be a middle level pro. I don't really have big aspirations as a pro because I work full time, but I enjoy playing. I enjoy traveling, and it's really fun for me. It's mostly that, not as much the making the money part as a pro.
Are there different areas in the country where it's caught on more so than others?
Yeah. Yes. Florida is a super hotbed, as well as Texas is becoming, a lot of pros are going to Texas as well. generally warmer areas are where you're going to play the most.
Okay. So how did you guys meet?
We met around the summer of 2021. I actually came out to this club to play what's called a shootout, which is just like a small tournament for pickleball. And we didn't discuss much at that time or talk much at that time, but I had another friend who I saw her, and we ended up playing a little bit together, and, you know, one thing led to another, and all of a sudden we were dating. So that was obviously great. But, yeah, I mean, we both loved the sport a lot, and I liked that she was passionate about it, you know, so it was something we could both kind of play and enjoy and compete at.
That's really cool. And so you now are at the level where you're thinking about the upcoming season. What's going on here at the end of January as we record this?
We actually just had the first event last week in Punta Gorda, Florida, where I traveled down, or we both traveled down and played in mid-January. So that was the first event. There's about 13 or 14 roughly during the year on the slate. So I plan on playing most of them, just going out there, showing up, trying to get results and get a little further on the overall level of play. There's a ton of players. It's becoming very competitive. So to try and hang in there and compete is really my only goal, and try and do as good as I can. I love sports for that reason. You can kind of go out there and just, it's an even playing field, and you try and figure out who the better player is. It's something I've always enjoyed doing as an outlet, you know, to regular life.
Is it kind of cool to see folks from other sports coming to this sport?
Yeah, it's very cool. It's tough because a lot of them are very good. They're good D1 tennis players or something else, and they come over and they're competitive, you know, fairly quickly in singles, just because it's a very athletic game and things like that. So it's definitely making the competition harder, which is tougher to place well in pro events. But I mean, if you're not there for the competition, you don't want an easy walk to a final anyway. So I think it's great that a lot of new players are coming in. It attracts more eyeballs, more attention, more dollars to the players, mm-hmm. Which is obviously great.
Well, let's talk about those dollars, or maybe just about the eyeballs, as you mentioned, Jason. I was looking at some figures, they're like an almost 3 million engagements, watches of the national championships in pickleball. Where do you expect it to be going, Katie?
I think it's going to just keep growing. The PPA organization had signed a deal with Amazon Prime, so now all their streams are on Amazon Prime, which is huge, and they're all over YouTube as well, and you can see especially when you have professional athletes investing in these teams, minor league pickleball teams, et cetera, all the people who watch them are in turn going to start watching pickleball. So I think it's just going to keep growing, and people are going to start watching more and more, especially major league pickleball when they're playing on teams and you have players next to the court yelling at each other, cheering, and that's fun to watch for everyone.
Update for our listeners, some of these pro stars, I understand like LeBron's been – he's involved in some. What other big athletes?
There's Kevin Durant, Trae Young, plenty of other NBA players that kind of gave some of their money as a stake to some of these. It's Major League Pickleball is kind of the team organization where there's 24 teams, and there's kind of a draft of players and things like that. And those players are fairly well compensated. So that's kind of bringing a lot of the attention, a lot of the money into the sport.
Mm-hmm. When you say fairly well compensated, ballpark?
I know a lot of these players make six figures, fairly, well, probably all of them in the top 50 or so, if you're kind of signed with, MLP, and there's also a handful of them that are in seven figures, you know, for some of their value and past performances.
Okay. So the money is not, and just now, as we talk in 2024 in the early stages, we're looking at, the way this thing is growing across the world. The money's just going to be amazing as time goes on. And you involved with youth programs, are you seeing more instances of families identifying their young girl or little guy as, let's concentrate on this sport versus some of the others? How's that go?
Yes, it is starting to get to that point. It used to be, you know, parents got their kids into tennis. Now they're getting kids into pickleball. It is because it's easier for kids to hit the ball, which is really good. So it actually makes it really fun for them. Whereas in tennis, they struggle because the ball bounces so high, et cetera. The racket's heavy. Mm-hmm. Pickleball is much easier for kids to catch on. And I know a couple parents who have told myself and the owner of the club, hey, I want my kid to focus on pickleball. I want them to take lessons, and they're going to get into it. And because they know it's going to become a college sport as well. So if the potential of getting a scholarship in college for pickleball is there, they're going to want to get their kids into pickleball.
I was reading something about the explosion of the sport in China and how, you know, they hope to have or may soon have something on the lines of 10,000 courts across the country. And as big as it is and as many people as there, and more than like 100 million players. I don't know if that is now or if that's coming in the next couple of years. Do you hear any global types of figures at all, Jason?
Yeah, so I've heard a few, and I'm not an expert or I can't pinpoint on it, but I know in the States there was a rough survey of 36 million people played last year.
Okay.
Picked up a pickleball paddle and kind of went out there. I know it's growing a lot. There's India, China. I don't know exactly how many courts, but U.S. is kind of leading the charge in terms of number of courts and even the level of play. It's definitely the highest level country right now because it's kind of originated in Florida, Texas, a lot in California. So the level of play is the highest there, but it's growing everywhere because it's very easy to pick up. And I've always said it's easy to pick up, kind of hard to master. So it's nice to kind of come in. Anyone can kind of come in and play. And especially if you're a little bit older, you haven't played a sport in a while, just something to get out, exercise, move around, I think is undervalued a lot or sometimes overlooked, just to go out there with friends and play, whether it's at a recreational level, just to get some exercise amongst all the other benefits that come with it, or on the competing side of the pro level. Like I said, I enjoy that a lot, kind of getting out there and playing against someone else.
I want your input and also Katie's input on just the various ways that you can compete. Describe them for us. How would we start describing the different ways people can compete?
There's public park. Pro level, you basically sign up for a tournament and you have to have points now. It's getting a lot harder. A couple years ago, you could just sign up for the pro level and go to a tournament and play and probably lose. But now it's getting to the point where, for example, the tournament we were at last week, the mixed doubles draw had 94 teams sign up. So you have to have points now and make your way through draws, qualifier draws, just like in tennis. It's getting to the point where it's like tennis, where you have to go through a qualifier to make it into the main draw. So it's getting much harder and harder to get points as well.
Okay. So you were describing a few of the options for competitors before we started taping the podcast. How many different ways can you compete on the pro level or even in youth tournaments if you're a young boy or a young girl?
Yeah, so the main divisions, the three ways to play the sport are singles, which is just one versus one, gender doubles, which is two guys versus two guys or two girls versus two girls, and then mixed doubles, which is one guy, one girl on each side. Those are kind of the three formats. Doubles is definitely prioritized in pickleball as like the higher or the more prestigious event, let's say, whereas tennis is the opposite. Usually singles is a little more watched or appreciated. So, but you can go out and kind of do anything. The local thing for younger people, there's usually you have to find a club and go participate in a tournament of some sorts. There's shootouts all over the place from, it's all, not to get too much into the tennis rankings, but there's all the way from amateur to intermediate to advanced to expert to pro level, kind of all broken down in maybe six or seven categories. And you can sign up for the appropriate category and go out there and try and win that division, so to speak.
And how about the different level, not levels, but surfaces that you would play on? There's indoor surfaces, there's outdoor, the balls are changed too, don't they? If you're outdoors versus indoors?
Yes, so mainly there's sort of three different surfaces. There's hard court tennis courts and then a gym floor and concrete.
Okay.
The gym floor and concrete are mostly for like YMCAs and different clubs like that. And a lot of tennis clubs you go to or bigger fitness clubs, they have tennis courts. I've seen some in the Carolinas. They're playing on clay courts hard true. Yes, I've never played on that, but I've heard a couple places where they play on clay, and I don't know how that would work with the ball. But yeah, you use different balls for the different surfaces as well.
Okay, that would be crazy to see playing on clay. Or what's next? You know, Wimbledon, grass, or where are we going with this thing?
Yeah, grass is probably unlikely just because a pickleball is so soft it wouldn't come up like a tennis ball.
Would.
But it would be interesting. Who knows? I certainly don't know the different types of surfaces, but all the pro level surfaces are high levels generally on a tennis court type surface. There is like an indoor ball versus an outdoor ball. the two tours, the APP and the PPA, use two different balls right now, but they're similar in a lot of ways where it's not a huge change.
Mm-hmm.
So players have to kind of train with both and get used to both if they kind of bounce back and forth between both tours.
You want to get someone introduced to the sport. I'm assuming you could spend a lot of money on the best paddle, if you will, or you just go conservative and get them in the game.
Yeah, you can definitely go conservative, and that, like I said earlier, that's what's great about it. It's very entry level to pick up. You can go and buy a $30 paddle from Walmart or online anywhere, mm-hmm. and go out there and hit with friends and get a good exercise and understand the general concept. So it's very easy to pick up and start, and that's the way to get people into it. Is I just say go out and try it, and you'll figure that 2 days later you'll say, oh, I want to go play again, you know, and I had fun doing that, and it's a good outlet, like I said, especially if you haven't played anything in a while to pick that up.
Jason, how much training has to go into trying to climb the ranks on a pro level for you?
So, yeah, right now I'm probably at 6 to 7 days a week, 2 hours a day roughly, and then Katie and I try and go to the gym or, a couple other fitness facilities to try and keep that up. It has to become more and more just with how competitive the pro level is getting, mm-hmm. if you want to stay relevant or stay in the competition. So, yeah, it's probably 14 to 15 hours a week for me personally, training on off weeks when there's not a tournament.
How different does your training vary, or is it very similar? I know you've got other duties here with the club here at the Wimbledon Club.
Yeah, mine is probably slightly less just from I work a little bit more at the club. But, I mean, we really play together most of the time. There's not really any men at a very high level in this area.
Okay.
So he kind of gets to play with me all the time. There's another girl who is about the same level as me at the club, so she and I play a lot together, but he sort of has to drive places and he takes more time in that sense, where I can just walk out of my office and play and get back to work really easily.
How long were you in the sport before you really felt comfortable that you could be real competitive in the game?
I played for about a year and a half before I played in my first tournament, and it was with our old pickleball director who used to be here. He said he was going to sign up for this tournament in Cincinnati, and I should too, because it was going to be fun. And so he and I signed up together to play mixed together, and we played in a draw that we probably were over our heads in, but it was fun. And I was like, oh, maybe this could be fun. And then I traveled to Philadelphia for a tournament, and I was like, oh, okay. Like, the people here are fun. I like being around all these people, and it's fun to travel, and it gave me a reason to travel. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where I was. I was like, oh, after a year and a half, I might just start playing a lot.
Similar kind of question for you, Jason. When did you really feel comfortable that you could, you know, make some kind of an impact in this thing?
Yeah, it was probably after maybe a year and a half. I played a lot of local tournaments at, say, the 4-5 and 5-0 level for anyone who knows tennis or pickleball. And then it kind of just gradually grew. I was a good player in the area and I actually played with the old pickleball director here. His name's mm-hmm. Andre, who's a good friend of mine. And we played a lot last year together on the APP tour. So it probably took about 2 years for me to figure it out. And I was fortunate with work with my partners, my dad and another partner named Lou, who's kind of runs the mechanical side of our shop. They gave me a lot of leeway to travel and kind of explore this avenue and time. So it was nice to try and pursue it and see what I can do with it.
How much do you guys get hit by folks from, you know, outside of the sport that are just have that curiosity? Don't know much about it, heard about it. What's this pickleball thing?
A lot of family members and friends from high school and stuff. They're like, what are you doing? Like, what are you playing? Cause they knew I played tennis, knew I rode horses, but now I'm essentially hitting a plastic ball. So they're like, what are you doing? You're traveling all over. And so I just explained to everyone, it's super fun. You should try it always. That's always my answer, but it's from a lot of people now.
Yeah. It seems like it's just blowing up, and it's kind of fun to see it from afar. I'd love to go to a tournament and see just how super competitive is it. Is it over 2 or 3 days, or how does the tournament work typically, Jason?
Yeah, so the average tournament's over about 4 days. Most okay. players fly in from various areas on a Wednesday, and then generally the main day start Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And there's kind of a different event, singles, mixed doubles, and gender doubles on those 3 days. And then Sunday is kind of the championship Sunday. If you make it to the final round on any of those days, you'd play on the Sunday day for the number one spot.
okay, in the pro level, there's, you know, a couple different entities that are trying to, you know, be the entity, if you will. Set that up for us. How's that going? Are we looking at a pickleball war here?
Yeah, there is. There has been for probably 6 months a major war of contract disputes and a lot of contracts not being honored, not being paid. It's a little bit messy. There's kind of the PPA, the APP, and then there's
PPA,
MLB.
Professional Pickleball Association.
Correct. The APP, which is the Association of Pickleball Players. That's the main tour that Katie and I play on.
Okay.
And then MLP is Major League Pickleball, which is kind of trying to set the formula that the NBA and other popular
And that's what LeBron and those guys are invested in,
yes.
Various teams?
Yes, that's what LeBron, Trae Young, Kevin Durant, a couple of, you know, there's probably 50 other celebrities. I know Mark Cuban's involved a little bit. So, and they all have a little bit of stake in some of these, one of these 24 major league teams that are all in cities across the country. Again, very similar to the NFL or NBA model of trying to have a city attached to the players. So they're kind of going through some contract talks, a little bit about merging and trying to figure out who needs to be paid what, and kind of come to some agreement to where they can play, you know, tournaments again.
Who are like the stars of this, you know, national? I don't want to just use like the trite NBA comparison, but who is the LeBron or who's the MJ of men or women's?
Yeah, so the men and women number one is actually fairly easy and undisputed, which is nice for so you don't have to worry about debates. But there's kind of Ben Johns on the men's side is the clear number one, and Anna Lee Waters is the clear number one on the women's side. But there's probably, you know, 20 to 30 people on each side that are very close and nipping at the heels of those guys. And that gap is kind of closing more and more. But those two, Ben and Anna Lee, have had a lot of success in their tournaments and just won the majority of tournaments where they're the clear front runners at this point.
Okay. And so what are the great qualities that they possess that, you know, if you want to be the best in the sport, that you should personify as an athlete?
So for Ben, I would say he's just very smart on court. He plays everything very strategically. He plays it like a chess game. Anna Lee is actually 16.
She's
16, so wow. She's been playing pro tournaments since she was like 12. So yeah. She kind of has just so much experience. And being young, your hand-eye coordination is a lot faster, so that obviously helps her a lot. But she just plays so smart. And she's just very athletic, of course, but Ben is more strategic and plays the game exactly how he wants to play all the time. And it's pretty impressive. It's honestly so impressive how he plays.
Wow. So she is, in a way, she's that youngster that came to the sport, as you mentioned, playing as a pro or playing competitively since 12 or so, probably picked up it when she was 10.
Yeah,
is that
early,
what we're looking at, even
earlier, to be honest? Yeah, she grew up in Florida, I believe.
I think she invented the sport.
She might have at this point. She's been playing probably as long as she can remember. I don't know the exact details, but yeah, at a very young age, and it was Naples, Florida was kind of the original booming spot of the sport, if I recall correctly.
Okay.
So she was around good players all the time, I think, you know, and they obviously play probably 50 hours a week, you know. So a lot of training and practice that goes into their skill set.
And what do you reckon is the, not the ability, or maybe the limit as to what someone like her or Ben, what they can make on a yearly basis? And is there much money in endorsements at this early level of the sport?
Yeah, there's a good amount. I probably would be doing a disservice to even speculate the exact number, but I know it's definitely got to be seven figures for both of them. And I know I've heard numbers that are much higher than that in terms of the millions. But there's for the top two or three guys and girls, there's probably serious endorsement deals. And they all have very good contracts with paddle companies and shoe companies, just like you would see in tennis or other sports. So I think there's very good money there. And that's kind of where a lot of the branding and how you get people to buy paddles at your club. Hey, okay. Anna Lee uses this. Just like if LeBron wears the shoes or Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
It's all a similar concept.
Be like Mike, like Anna Lee, like Ben. And
so
they're the bell cows of the sport that the people kind of point towards and say, they're the future. And they're the individual that you kind of put your hats on and or hop on the saddle and ride them into the future. But you see this as like just exploding beyond what we can comprehend at this time.
Yeah, it's just going to keep growing. It's, as Jason said, it's so easy to pick up. That's what kind of makes it so fun, is you can just go out and play, and everybody just wants to play and have fun. And we've gone to multiple public parks where it's just people who are just playing just because they want to have exercise. And that is why it's going to keep growing, because you can pick it up so easily and it's a good workout. And so everybody just wants to do it once they've played.
And I see a lot of cities have taken, done the conversion thing, right? They've taken a couple of tennis courts. They did that in Euclid. We now have two, pickleball courts where there used to be a few, tennis courts, and that will continue to go, I would imagine.
Yeah, there's always that little turf war between tennis players and pickleball players. but yeah, a lot of tennis courts have been converted to pickle that no tennis was being played at, and now they're all of a sudden kind of booming with pickleball courts. So there's no shortage of players, of entry-level players, or people of all skill levels trying to go out and have fun. And I think it just kind of speaks to the power of sport and kind of going out there, and that everyone has a little bit of that need to kind of compete and have fun. And it's a little bit of a metaphor for a lot of things you have to kind of face and adjust in life, and figure out, how do I beat this guy, and how am I going to beat this team, is very transferable to skill sets in real life that can help.
How much does how do you approach the strategy when you're out there?
I'm always thinking and talking beforehand. My partners and I are always, hey, what's his weakness? Where can we go here? Just like any other sport, you're trying to figure out the most optimal way to perform better than them. There's a lot that goes into that. But with pickleball, you have to be strong mentally and make sure you're, calm and disciplined, and kind of allowing your physical. I've always said there's no physical prowess without the mental side first, because you can't allow your body to kind of go out and do all its muscle memory and all it's trained to do and all your training unless you're kind of solid mentally and calm and know how to kind of operate on the court. So there's a lot of preparation and scouting reports that you know about each players, of their tendencies, where they're likely to hit the ball, speed up the ball, and things like that. And that just comes from playing a lot. You see a lot of different shots and different shot selection. So just playing, you start to figure out those patterns.
And how do you increase your repertoire by just watching others play, or how they play the game, their strategies, or their abilities to hit certain shots and that stuff?
Yes. So that is the nice thing about pickleball. Pretty much a lot of, like, everything's on YouTube. So we go back and watch streams all the time. We watch the stream live, and we do talk a lot about strategy, Jason and I, and we do watch a lot of, and I also record my matches and go back and watch any of the games I've played to see, what I did wrong here, where I guessed wrong, anything I did wrong like that. So there is, it's getting to the point where film is used a lot now.
Well, I see the doubles a lot of times they're near the net and just going back and forth. How is that determined that it turns out that way, or is just some athletes just better at those close, quick shots?
People are better when the ball gets sped up at them. The faster your reaction time is, the better you're going to be. You can also work on it. There are plenty of drills to do at home where you can work on getting as we call faster hands. But yeah, ideally the whole point, once you get to the kitchen line, it's whoever can keep the ball low enough until somebody leaves it a little too high, and then someone's going to hit it hard at you and you have to just be ready for it.
Generally speaking, let's tell our listeners about the kitchen and some of the rules related things about this sport.
Yeah, so when you're looking at the net, there is an area, there's two lines 7 feet from the net on each side. That's called the no volley zone, or the kitchen. You cannot step inside the kitchen and take a ball out of the air, hit a volley out of the air. Funny rule, everybody thinks that you can't be in there at any time. You can be in there 100% of the time, you just can't hit a volley out of the air time. So ideally, once you start a point, you want to get to the kitchen line. The team that takes over the kitchen line is the team that is going to win.
Okay, and that's where we get those back and forth real quick.
Yeah.
Or even a lot of deft shots that, you got to, if you're in the kitchen, you got to wait till it hits the ground before
you
hit it.
Yes, that is your goal, essentially, when you are at the kitchen line or the no volley line. You want to do what's called dinking. You want to just hit the ball very softly at an angle, move the ball around, get the other people moving, so they end up popping the ball up and you can put it away.
That's really interesting to talk about the strategy involved, because I'm such a neophyte watching it, but I do see people, up there and just slamming away at each other. And then it evolves into, as you mentioned, just they're just kind of just popping it over the net ever so slightly. So a lot of strategy involved. Really intriguing to get your perspectives on this. And I can't thank you all enough for kind of bearing your souls, if you will, about playing the game and letting a few of our listeners on the podcast get a sense of what the sport means to you. So, Katie, best of luck to you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Me too. And thank you very much, Jason, and good luck.
Yeah, appreciate it, John. Thanks so much for having us on.
Thanks very much to Jason and Katie for the great insights and conversation. And a great shout out to David Barr, the owner of the Wembley Club. I had a great time sitting down and chatting with David about the sport, its popularity, about the Wembley Club itself. Just a great spot if you want to check out some of the top action in the sport of pickleball in Northeast Ohio. And that club has so many more amenities besides what they do for the sport of pickleball. So if you get a chance, check them out. And thanks very much to you for listening. And as always, if you can, hit that follow button. The algorithms love it when you leave comments and or review the pod as well. Just to keep this baby growing as this old guy enjoys his retirement. Thanks again to you guys for chatting with me on the pod, and we look forward to being with you next week for another edition of Telich Talks. We'll see you then.